The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And this is the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. Well, was this a miscommunication? Was this And oops, was it just a huge mistake? I don't know that we'll ever know, but the Mormon Church has reversed themselves on Brigham Young University and homosexual relationships. Hey, welcome to the program. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, it was huge breaking news that Brigham Young University had changed their student handbook, the honor code, the general handbook and the honor code of Brigham Young University, which for years and years and years had in their honor code prohibited homosexual relationships or same-sex relationships. It was banned specifically in the handbook and the honor code of BYU. Now, if a student goes to a particular university that is a private university, they should know what they're getting into. That's why I have zero sympathy. Zero. Zip, zilch. Nada. I have no sympathy whatsoever for a student that goes to a Christian college and then complains about the dress code, the dating code, or anything else. Most Christian universities and most private colleges or universities has a student code, and the students sign it. And usually they sign it every year. Well, you knew what you were getting into. So don't go protesting. There were a bunch of students up at Wheaton a few years ago protesting this, protesting that. There were a bunch of students out at Azusa Pacific, if you remember, about a year ago or a year and a half ago. They were protesting the policies, and the administration at Azusa Pacific was dumb enough to kowtow to the students. And by the way, Azusa Pacific has been on a huge and rapid downhill slide ever since. We've seen this at schools all over. A couple of Christian universities here in Ohio have had short-term demonstrations, and at least one of them dealt with the students very decisively and said, hey, this is the way we are. If you don't like it, you're out of here, which is the way it should be. So anyway, Brigham Young, just 2 weeks ago, announced that they were changing the general handbook and the honor code to remove the prohibition on homosexual behavior and same-sex relationships. Well, the liberal left was going crazy. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this wonderful? Finally, Brigham Young is getting, you know, they're becoming progressive. They're getting up with the times. And LGBTQ students at Brigham Young were out in the open cheering. Now, again, I want to be kind. I want to be understanding. I want to be compassionate. If they knew that Brigham Young had a prohibition, what were they doing there? So anyway, well, it created a huge amount of controversy among Mormons. I really believe that the Mormon Church is fighting desperately for their identity. They're not quite sure who they are anymore. Again, I am not an expert on anything, but I am a student of Mormonism. My dad was a Mormon. Most of the relatives on my dad's side were Mormons. And I have a great uncle, I think he was as high in the Mormon Church as a layperson can get. So I'm not an expert on anything, but I am a student of Mormonism. And back around the time of the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City, and if you remember, Mitt Romney was in charge of that. He bailed him out. And anyway, the Mormon Church went through a huge paradigm public relations shift sometime around the Winter Olympics. They wanted to be welcomed into the mainstream of the Christian community. Before that time, Mormons didn't want to be called Christians because they believed that all Christian churches were apostate and they were the one and only true church. Now they still believe that, but they don't want to advertise it. They kind of advertise, well, we're just another denomination. That change happened around the Salt Lake City Olympics. Their website changed dramatically. If you know anything about Mormon doctrine, they have some weird, strange, bizarre doctrines that are much, much, much closer to science fiction than the Bible. Before the Salt Lake City Olympics, they were front and center on the website. It was easy to find it. Now, I haven't looked for a while, but those bizarre, strange, weird doctrines that they still believe are buried deep, deep, deep into the website because they are so weird, strange, and bizarre. So I think for the last many years, they have been trying to figure out who they are. And so when this happened with Brigham Young University, it was very, very controversial within the church because they have, like other groups, they have very conservative, they have fairly liberal people. So I think they thought this will be a way to expand our outreach. We won't seem so strange and legalistic. And, well, people in the church and leaders in the church went ballistic and said, what in the world are you doing? You're changing. We're accepting homosexuality, blah, 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 blah. Well, they have changed again. Here's the story. Just 2 weeks ago, LGBTQ students at Brigham Young University were cheering after the school deleted a section in its honor code that banned, quote, homosexual behavior, end quote. But yesterday, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints poured cold water on their celebrations after it clarified that same-sex romantic behavior is, quote, not compatible, end quote, with BYU's principles. The announcement came in a letter penned by Elder Paul V. Johnson, the commissioner of the church's educational system. It was sent to all the students and employees at all Mormon-owned schools, according to BYU, which tweeted out the letter. Quote, the moral standards of the church did not change with the recent release of the general handbook or the updated honor code. Same-sex behavior cannot lead to eternal marriage and is therefore not compatible with the principles included in the honor code. You see, Mormons believe that if you're married on this earth, you will be married throughout eternity. Now, what happens to somebody who was divorced and remarried? Well, they figure that out. In the letter, quote, a foundational doctrine of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ is that marriage between a man and a woman is ordained of God and that the family is central to the Creator's plan for the eternal destiny of his children. Church leaders have long taught these principles. Same-sex romantic behavior cannot lead to eternal marriage and is therefore not compatible with the principles included in the honor code. So, after indicating they had changed their policies, they are now saying, no, we did not. As a result, huge protests today on the campus of BYU. Evidently, there is a pretty large contingent of LGBTQ students, and they are saying, we were fooled, we were misled, we were lied to. And, quote, hundreds of students have gathered at BYU's Wilkinson Student Center yesterday afternoon to protest. And I've got pictures. The students are chanting, Jesus loves me, so should you. Love, not hate, is what makes BYU great. And of course, all of you know that this is not an issue of love. Of course, God loves everybody, but he doesn't condone all activity. I could start naming hundreds of things that God does not condone, but he still loves the people who are doing them. But anyway, so BYU is again at the center of attention, and they have issued a clarification. Homosexual behavior is still not compatible. So on one hand, good for them, but I think this is going to cause even more confusion and anger against BYU. Interesting stuff. All right, quick break. We'll be back.
Today's news, God's word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, I just found out I have a date with a beautiful woman tonight. I suppose I'll finish the program, though. But I'm tempted to, you know, just... Yeah, I'll wait. I'll make it to the end. But, yeah, I have a date with a beautiful woman right after I get off work. It's fascinating when you see the disciples more in tune to the Word of God than the ones who discipled them. All right, I'll stop talking in riddles. And here's what I'm talking about. The United Methodist Church has been fighting for their life for several years. The liberal leaders have finally thrown in the towel. The liberals. They have finally said, we're done, we're finished, you know, just get out of here. To the conservatives, to the Bible believers. Seriously. They've said, we're tired of putting up with you Bible believers, you fanatics. Just get out of here. So it looks like this summer, finally, there's going to be some resolution in the battle between the Bible believers and the Bible deniers. And folks, it's that clear. Don't muddy the waters. It's that clear. It's battle between the Bible believers and the Bible deniers. People try to put a kind spin on it and a more nuanced approach, but that's it. So they're going to divide. They're going to split this summer. And what fascinates me is that the American United Methodist Church, years ago, and we're talking 100 years ago, started sending missionaries around the world with a great deal of emphasis on Africa. Spent sent missionaries to Africa. Now, at that time, the Bible believers were here in America, and they wanted to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the plan of salvation, to those heathen, pagan people in the dark continent of Africa, who are worshiping stone gods and wood gods and were totally, completely pagan. Well, the gospel always bears fruit. And so those Methodist missionaries, now they weren't United Methodists back then. The United Methodist is kind of new, and it's you know, it's the merger of this group and that group and the this group of the brethren. Many of you know the history of what is now the United Methodist Church. So I don't want to imply that the United Methodists were around 100 years ago. I'm talking about the Methodists, Bible believers, solid, wonderful Bible believers, sending missionaries to Africa. And they get there, and many of them gave their lives for these pagans, okay? And they began to accept Christ, and they began to build churches, and they began to evangelize others. And the gospel spread, not just the Methodist missionaries, the Baptist missionaries, some Presbyterian missionaries. The gospel began to spread across Africa. And in time, those who sent the missionaries began to question the message that they had sent, the message that had converted people, tribes, cities, villages, the gospel that had transformed lives. The people who originally sent them began, well, can we really trust the Bible? And over a period of many years, those who sent the missionaries have far less trust and confidence in the Bible than the people who were won in Africa. So the disciples, those Christians, and particularly when we're talking about the Methodists, and now what has become the United Methodist Church, the United Methodist denomination, those who were once the pagans are more solid in their biblical understanding than those who were a part of the group who actually sent the missionaries so many years ago. It's a strange, bizarre thing, isn't it? I went through all of that to get to this story, which I will have to share with you after this break. Yeah, it's a fascinating story about United Methodists in Liberia. It's an interesting story. I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it. Hey, you're listening to Bob Burney Live. We'll be right back.